Continuing where our story left off last week, actually, when, remember we had the courageous women last week? Who remembers the courageous women? Yes. Do you remember their names? Will you shout them out with me if I tell you their names again? Say yes.
Yes.
We'll just, I think, what would I say at the beginning of the service? We're just, like when I said, did you like that commercial? I think we're just something. We're what? Humoring you, yeah, so just humor me. You're just going to humor me. Ready? Shipra and Puah.
Shipra and Puah.
The Hebrew midwives. Jochebed, Moses' mother.
Jochebed.
Miriam.
Miriam.
Moses' sister. Bathia.
Bathia.
Pharaoh's daughter who drew Moses out of the water. Tirzah, Mala, Noah, Hogla, and Milka.
Milka.
Tirzah.
Tirzah.
Mala.
Noah.
Hogla.
Milka.
They are the Nephilot's daughters. They successfully argued the right to inherit their father's property rights. The wise woman of Abel.
The wise woman of Abel.
Just one woman. The wise woman of Abel.
The wise woman of Abel.
Well, you're getting kind of soft on there. The wise woman of Abel.
The wise woman of Abel.
She convinced Joab, one of King David's commanders, not to come and destroy the entire city looking for one enemy. And she convinced him to wait while they captured the enemy. And then there's Jael.
Jael.
She invited a fleeing general named Sisera into her tent, hid him, and got him to go to sleep. And then she hammered the tent peg. And yeah, okay, we'll just move on from there. And then the Syrophoenician woman.
Syrophoenician woman.
Not bad. Syrophoenician woman.
Syrophoenician woman.
She found Jesus while he was resting and asked him to heal her daughter. And he, knowing that she was not Jewish, told her that he had to take care of the Jewish people first by saying he had to help the children instead of the dogs. And she stood up to Jesus, confronted the racism in his words. And when she said, even the dogs under the table get to eat the children's crumbs. Some courageous women. And now we get to move forward to, much further ahead in Moses' life. See, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's court, and then at one point he decided he was going to stand up for the Hebrew people. He saw that they were oppressed, and he ended up killing an Egyptian guard. And instead of being hailed as a hero, the Israelites rejected him, saying, what are you going to do, kill us too because you're mad? And so he fled. He was, on the lam for many, many years. He went into the wilderness, and he lived there for a long time. He married Zipporah, who's not one of the ones that we named last week. You want to shout out her name? Go ahead. Zipporah!
Zipporah!
And he also went to work tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. Not the Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies, but a different Jethro. And then one day, he took his sheep to graze in a mysterious place. The Bible says it was out beyond the wilderness. And that's kind of like deep in the forest or, 20,000 leagues under the sea. It's a mysterious place that we don't know. It sort of indicates he was way out there, far out beyond the maps kind of a thing. And he saw a bush that was burning and it wasn't consumed. We've heard this story for years and years as we grew up, the story of the burning bush. There's an old-time gospel song called Echoes of the Burning Bush. Anyone know that old-time gospel song? It's kind of a fun, I think the Statler Brothers might have sang it, or Blackwood Brothers? The Blackwood Brothers sang that. You're going to look for it this week, find Echoes of the Burning Bush. Wonderful southern gospel song. But this burning bush wasn't burned up. He was out in the wilderness, out beyond where people were supposed to be, out beyond where people knew, and he saw something that was beyond his wildest imagination. It just burned. And then it talked, or at least a voice came from it. And I've heard people explain not how the voice could have come, but how, scientifically, what could have happened if there is a species of bush that when the sun hits it, it seems to be golden or on fire, but it's not consumed. And I don't know, how to explain it all, except that this is something that Moses didn't expect. This is something that nobody would expect. And a bush was being, there was flame, and he couldn't tell. He just knew that there was something going on, so he went over to investigate it, and then the voice comes out. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And yes, it could be, probably was, out of respect that God said that. This is holy ground. Do not defile the ground by stepping on it. But it also could be, as we talked in the children's sermon, it could be, take your shoes off so that you can experience this holy ground without having something separating you from it. Or maybe it was a sign of hospitality. Don't know for sure, but whatever it was, God says, take off your shoes. Finally, after Moses thought he was doing a good thing so many years before when he stood up for the Israelites and ended up killing an Egyptian guard, it was going to come true. God was going to set the Hebrew free, and Moses was going to help them. Moses, who had fled out into the desert. Moses, who worked for his father-in-law. Moses, who was a shepherd. Yes, Moses, the murderer and the shepherd. The man who stuttered. Actually, we find about that in the next chapter. What kind of idiot sends a murderous, stuttering shepherd to go and save the people? Last week, I said that God is working through the ones that society treats as unimportant, that God is caring for the ones who are on the fringe, that God is working outside of those considered powerful by our standards. And who would dare to use Moses, the murderer, the shepherd, to lead a nation out of bondage? Well, God would choose Moses to do that, because God did choose Moses to do that. And in this morning's reading, God instructed Moses a name to identify the one who had sent him when he went to Pharaoh. And this name is the subject of scholarly debates, inspirational speaking, signs of respect, and sometimes even just deliberate vagueness. As I look through several Bible Smarty Pants resources, those are the ones, you know, the really smart people write stuff about Bible-y things, and you learn it, commentaries and sermons and everything by the really, really important people. And here's some ways that it's described. I am who I am. Okay? That's what's written in the New Revised Standard that we read today. It's related to the Hebrew verb aya, which means to be. It's just the verb to be. And some understand it like this. They understand it, I cause it to be, instead of I am what I am. That's also correct. Or I will be what I want to be. Or I will be what I will be. And I've actually heard other people, including the United Church of Christ's evangelism minister, the team leader, his name is David Shane, and he says that that name means I will be what the future requires. And that's a really cool way of looking at the name. And for many, the name is too sacred to utter, or even to write, for that matter. In that case, in spelling out, see, Eya is the verb, and the way that it's made proper is Yahweh. You've heard the name Yahweh before. Instead of spelling it out, or saying it or spelling it out, and the four letters are Yod, He, Vav, and He. That's the Hebrew way of doing it. One utters a different word. The scribes actually put a subtext that said Adonai, which is a term of respect that means Lord. There's a song by Amy Grant called El Shaddai, and she says the word Adonai in there. Adonai is it's as if you would walk up to someone and out of respect you'd go, Adonai. You know, yes, my Lord. It's not a term just for God. It's just a term of respect. And so Adonai was written below. So if you look in your Bibles, even today, in the reading, and when it says Lord, the original writing there is Yahweh, and underneath it's Adonai. And so out of respect, the word is written Lord with all capitalization to know that this is not just Lord out of a little bit of respect, but Lord as in the Lord God. Something very interesting about that. I may have told you this before, I don't know. But when you take Adonai, the vowels that work out Adonai, and then the consonants, kind of the consonants that are Yahweh, and if you mix them up accidentally, you get the word Jehovah. And so when we have Jehovah, which is a name that we say this is God's name, it's kind of just sort of a mixture of Yahweh and the respectful term Adonai sort of put together there. God gets what we're saying, but it was... It wasn't in the original, and it's not what God said to Moses. See, God's name, Yahweh, it's sacred. And actually, the name is complete, because when you use the term to be for your name, I mean, that's it. And the verb to be in Hebrew has all three tenses in it. It has past, it has present, it has future. And actually, when God says, I am who I am, in our reading today, that whole part there, there's the Hebrew, Eya Asher Eya. So it's, I am who or what or where I am. So they're connected. So it's just as correct to say, I was what I will be. I am what I was. I will be what I want to be. All of those different things. You can put it all together. God's name is complete, and it encompasses the beginning and before, and the end and after, past, present, and future. And God's name is not fully definable, because you can't define to be in all three tenses completely. You don't get to define God. God does that. It's not, I am what you say I am. Jesus may have said that when he asked, are you the Messiah? But God says, I am who I am. I am what I am. I will be what I will be. God's name is complete. And then there's another really inspirational way to look at God's name. And this comes from Rob Bell, who is a preacher. He's a book writer. He's from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he suggests that the four letters of the name that I said before, Yo and He and Va and He, they're called the tetragrammaton, or in Greek, four letters. You want to say that one? No, you don't have to. Yo, He, Va, He are breathy consonants. You know, we have like D. That's not a breathy consonant. But Yo, it's sort of like Yo. And then Hey is sort of like breathing in. And then Va is breathing out. Va. And then Hey. Like that, breathing in. It's sort of like breathing out and breathing in. So when you say it, you can say it with me. Say Yo. Hey. Va. Hey. It's the kind of sound that a person may make when they're breathing. Yo. Hey. Va. Hey. Yo. Va. Breathing. Like the name of God who breathes life into us is like the sound of breathing. So God, the name, God, breath, God, life. I think of that, and every time I breathe, and every time now you breathe, you can think of God's name, complete. I will be what the future requires. My name is complete. My name defies any simple definition. My name is like the sound of breathing. So this week, when I think of all of these glimpses of the name, this sacred name, this complete name, this name that defies simple definition, this name that is like breathing, experience God, who is what the future requires. Experience God every time you breathe in and breathe out. Yo. See what happens this week. God's name is powerful. God's name is magnificent. God's name is complete. See what happens this week as you just get in touch and experience the name. Let's pray. God, thank you for your inspiration, for your life, for the breath that we have, for being what we need now, for being what the future requires, for being.